This is OJ Howard, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, and we're bringing on a good old friend of the show here. I don't know if John Ledyard has been on the podcast. He's certainly been on the SiriusXM radio show, certainly a great friend and a known hustler that we've seen out everywhere for the NFL draft stuff, covering all the events that we've been at for the last I don't know. We've been at it 10 years. It feels like John's been at it for just about as long. You can find him on Twitter at Ledyard NFL Draft. He's the Bucks. He's the Bucks beat reporter at Pewter Report and the director of content down there. A new member of the growing legions that have moved to the great state of Florida. John Ledyard, what the hell is going on, brother?
Hey, man. Great for having me. Always appreciate it. It's great to be talking some NFL draft.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. And I want to talk draft with you, but you know, you are the Bucks beat reporter guy. You were able to kind of get your first season in doing it. I mean, I don't know how many people get their first season on a job get to cover a Super Bowl run, but they must see you as a good luck charm around there. what do you think? So coming into your second year covering the team, I guess from a fantasy perspective, can you give me any insight about the running back situation there now that Gio Bernard, now that they've added a new satellite back there? What does this mean for Leonard Fournette? What does this mean for Ronald Jones? And, you know, did Leonard Fournette buy himself some grace and some credibility there from the front office to maybe be, and the coaching staff, to maybe be more of a lead back? Or are they still in on Ronald Jones? And then is Keyshawn Vaughn, can we just consider his NFL career already over before it started? What the hell's going on with all this, John?
Yeah, it's very hard to figure out. One thing I've learned is that fantasy people, you know, I'm not big into the fantasy game, into the evaluation, the scouting game, and the projection game for sure, but not like so much on the specific fantasy side. So sometimes when I hit a fantasy trend or like a fantasy inside joke, I like stumble upon it, and then I realize like, oh, this is a big thing I just was totally unaware of. And one of those things is Bruce Arians and running backs. It's like an inside running joke amongst fantasy football experts and websites and fans, because it's just like you could never figure out who Bruce is going to play. And then just when you think you figured it out, it switches, or none of them get the production you were hoping to get. It's all split up evenly. That, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think that's what you're going to have, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, Leonard Fournette definitely seemed to pass up Ronald Jones by the end of the year. I think that's really due to the fact, though, that Fournette's three-down ability was just better than Jones. Jones is just a really unreliable pass protector and a very unreliable receiver, to the point where in his third year in the NFL, he still doesn't understand timing and where to be in simple routes. I mean, little arrow routes to the flat, screens, get your head around, look for the ball when you're coming out of the backfield. You just waste so many plays with Jones on the field and passing downs. I mean, he's one of the worst backs in the league on passing downs. Now, when he catches the ball, he can actually like, do stuff. You know, he's better with the ball in his hands than Leonard Fournette, but it's just so freaking hard to get him to do the little things right to actually get the ball. And in this offense, you know, you're not the running backs. It's not like the Saints where Alvin Kamara's getting 10 catches a game or something like that. You know, this is, you need to make the most of your opportunities, and he just wasn't doing that. And so I think they went with Fournette because he was less of an issue than Ronald Jones, not because they think Fournette was a better player. I think it's pretty clear Ronald Jones is the better pure running back, but he makes them predictable when he's on the field if they can't use him on passing downs or count on him on passing downs. Can't count on either of them in pass protection. Neither of them were good in that regard. Leonard Fournette had a lot more opportunities and was pretty bad throughout the entire season. So that was a big issue coming into the offseason. That's been solved now with the Giovanni Bernard signing. He's going to be the receiving back. He's going to be the third down guy for sure. He's going to be the 2-minute warning guy, all that kind of stuff. 2-minute drill guy. I mean, all that stuff. He'll be in there for that. Yeah, I mean, Leonard Fournette could get some of that role, but he'll see that part of his game sucked up, I think, by Bernard. And then, so Fournette's going to lose something there. Bernard's going to gain something. Bernard will probably be what he's always been, only just in a better offense in terms of the workload. And then Ronald Jones is the one that's curious. To me, he's going to have to be able to beat out Fournette for the rushing down plays, or split that time with Fournette for the rushing down opportunities. Because right now, I would say Fournette's ahead of him in that regard. And then we'll see how things meet out during training camp, or whether that remains the way that it's been.
It's like the worst of all scenarios for those two to have Geo come in. Because even if you, fantasy, I think it makes sense for a football perspective, but just even for fantasy, I mean, and we sort of knew it was going to happen with all the talk that, you know, they were interested in maybe bringing James White and, you know, all that stuff like that. The fact that they keep saying they need a pure pass catcher, it's like they're going to make those two an early down committee. And as long as Geo is healthy, it's almost like if you play in a PPR league, he could be the most, he might score you the most points out of all those guys, because it would just feel like Fournette and Jones, you know, we're going to cannibalize each other. The one thing I will say is, you know, through the course of the season, one of those guys will get hurt. And so it could end up being that maybe one of them ends up paying off, but boy, it's a real hidden value for those guys as far as fantasy. Okay. The first thing I want to ask you is for one of these prop bets here, and maybe it can just kind of be, and also talk about just general needs for, you know, needs for the Buccaneers. And of course, this is a team that's coming off of a Super Bowl victory. It's probably the team that has less needs than most in the league, right? And so they're not offering the best, you know, odds here. There's not really one odds on favorite like there are for some of these other teams for a way that they're going to go. And I think that's just probably how it is whenever you're picking last. You know, the sports books don't know who's going to be left on the board. There's always a chance that these teams, like last year with the Chiefs picking last, they just take a complete luxury pick. And the guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire that they took last year, you could see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers maybe doing something like that, is they build for right now, as opposed to, you know, having just an ultimate stake just in the future alone, like some of these other teams do. At plus 200 is the best odds is defensive line. At plus 450 is the second best odds at offensive line. At plus 600 are these three positions: cornerback, linebacker, and wide receiver. So after that, we get to running back and safety at plus 800, quarterbacks at plus 2,000, tight end is at plus 3,300. And then, of course, kicker, punter, long snap. We know that Jason Light is not going to be drafting another kicker again, probably in his life, after what happened the last time he did that on Jameis Winston's account. But what do you think about those guys? Defensive line, offensive line, corner, linebacker, wide receiver. Is that the way that you see them going, and what do you see the Bucs' biggest needs?
I think their biggest need is on the interior offensive line, center guard. You know, that spot, I think, is Brian Jensen and Alex Kappa both slated to be free agents. So that's going to be a position that they might replace one or maybe both those guys. They got a lot of free agents for next offseason. So that's a possibility, I think, for them. And that range of the draft should be a position on the board that's still pretty strong, pretty stacked with talent, I would say. They could also trade down and take one of those guys, which is also should be pretty attractive to them. Defensive tackle, I think, yeah, ideally you'd like them to take one, but Christian Barmore is probably going to be off the board based on everything we've heard up to this point, especially recent reports seem to indicate he'll be a top 20 pick. Mm-hmm. After that, it gets really, I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm not even that big of a Barmore fan, but it's a mess. I mean, certainly, Levi Onwuzurike has talent. Certainly, Yosa Adegizua from UCLA has talent. Iowa's Davion Nixon has talent. But Milton Williams, Louisiana Tech, talent. But, I mean, they're just so far. It's such a technical position, Alex. And you know this. Like, it's such a position mentally and technically. You have to be on point in the NFL. It's one of the deepest position groups in the NFL. If you can't play, you aren't going to make it. I mean, it's not a position group that has much time for inconsistency. Right now in the league, it's just, if you look across defensive lines in the NFL, if you look at the last guy on rosters, I mean, he can play. You know, that's just where, especially in the interior, I'm talking about. At edge defender, you've got a little more room for that developmental curve and bring guys along and take those chances. But defensive line, I mean, you remember Robert Akinduchi a few years ago. I mean, all the talent in the world, right? But, like, mentally, technically, just couldn't get where he needed to be. I mean, Malik McDowell couldn't get on the field because of health, but it was the same concern with him. And, you know, all these guys that are super talented, it works at edge defender sometimes. It doesn't work as much on the inside. It's such a physical, technical spot. You know, you can't really just play situationally. You need to be able to rush the passer on early downs in today's NFL. And so it's taken out a lot of those, you know, run-stuffing types and added value to more athletic types. But at the end of the day, if those guys can't play, then, and that's the problem with this class, like consistency, technique, you know, I don't know that I see it being there where the Bucs needed to be in the first round. So may have to wait on that position group. I think edge defender is a possibility, but everybody probably on the board there is very developmental. It's a very developmental edge class in general. Just, I mean, there's like no sure things. If you take an edge guy early, you are just taking a risk. I mean, it's with any of those guys, really. So it's a possibility to go edge, possibility to go interior offensive line, guard or center. And I think wide receiver is on the table. It would just have to be the right guy. I think they're really in a position where they would just are going, they really want to choose the best player available. So do they love one of the wide receivers that's available there? I think a lot of people would have Kadarius Toney, Rondale Moore, Elijah Moore, maybe even Amari Rodgers, probably not that early, but with a trade down, you know, those guys as options. I'm just saying those guys are all way under the size threshold that the Bucs usually use a wide receiver. They just, that's not their MO, wide receiver. They do not take small wideouts, especially early in the draft. You know, Scotty Miller is somebody you could point to in the sixth round, but Scotty Miller was like a 4.3 flat guy. He's one of the fastest players in the league. You know, if a guy had a trump card like that, you know, and it was late in the draft, we throw out some size thresholds. But early on, I mean, you look at all the receivers they visited with during this pre-draft process, all of them. I mean, it's like 6'1", 205, 210 is like the smallest guy, maybe 6 foot, but nobody that looks like or plays really like Rondo Moore, Elijah Moore. Those guys are slot onlys. The Bucs are very much an inside-outside team. If you play slot for them, as Chris Godwin and Tyler Johnson do, you need to be also able to play outside for them. And so those are their slots, those two guys, Godwin and Johnson, but they play outside at the drop of a hat. You know, so that's what they like with their wide receiver core. So it's, you know, yeah, I mean, if they drafted a speed guy, it would or not a small guy, it would probably be to play on the outside, and they need great speed. Certainly those guys, some of these guys have that. I just don't see the fits there with those specific guys that early in the draft. Terrace Marshall from LSU, definitely a fit on paper for what they look for. Checks all the boxes.
What about Bateman? Tyler Johnson.
Bateman could be a possibility too. Yeah. The issue with Bateman is that
he's kind of small. He weighed in kind of small. He might not meet their threshold this year. I mean, what are he weighing at 190? I guess he said that's because he lost weight because of COVID or something. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just as long as you were talking about Marshall, I was kind of wondering about Bateman if you thought that they would look at him.
Bateman is one I haven't considered as much as I should have. Somebody asked me about Bateman on our podcast the other day, and I was like, oh, I need to. Yeah, that's a guy I definitely need to take a look at. For the Bucs, even, because I mean, I've watched him, I've studied him, but I didn't consider him for the Bucs as a possibility. So, you know, it was one of those situations where I was like, oh man, I don't know whether he's going to be a fit or not. I don't know whether, you know, that's going to be, if he's going to be there or not. I thought he'd be off the board before then, but there's a possibility he might not be. And so now I'm looking at the board and I'm like, well, Bateman could be, he'd be smaller, he'd be lighter than their normal wide receiver. But at the same time, like, he's good enough that you might be where you take a chance and go outside of your threshold a little bit. So we'll see if he's there at 32. I guess I'd be a little surprised if he's there. He and Terrace Marshall would be the names that jump off the page to me at 32. Later on down the board, Dyami Brown, Nico Collins, those are their types. There's not a lot of Bucs types of receivers in this class. That could mean they're out on the position early and they draft a guy late, or it could mean that they love one guy at the top and they think he's the only guy in this draft for them, like a Terrace Marshall, and they grab him at 32. Those things are all possibilities, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. Not a lot of the big bully kind of size speed guys this year, especially that could be had late. The one that comes to my mind is the Stanford kid. I'm forgetting his name. Simi Fehoko. He has a little bit of a Mike Evans starter kit to him, but certainly no Mike Evans. I'm trying to think of those bigger guys who could be had late. I think Nico Collins is definitely a great call there. For sure. All right, so let's just talk about some of these. And one other thing, they didn't give us an option on the DraftKings Sportsbook for edge. Do you think if they said edge that would be one that could be up there as far as ways that they could look, or do you not think that that's too important an option right now?
Yes, I think edge is up there. In fact, if you ask me right now, I haven't even written this yet, Alex, so you're getting the inside scoop here. If you ask me right now. If you put a gun in my head that you have to make the Bucks pick at 32, and based on players you think will be available, I think Joe Tryon from Washington might be their pick. I wouldn't necessarily be gung ho about that. I don't know if you know if he's going to be on the board still at that point. He just fits with athleticism, size, length, physicality. He didn't play last year, but that's okay. He doesn't have to play and step into a role right away in Tampa. He'd be an extra guy, right? Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett start. He'd be your situational guy, your 10 to 15 snaps a game guy, clear upgrade over Anthony Nelson, has a lot of developmental traits, tested like a good athlete. His tape is really underwhelming, and that does matter to me. And then he didn't play in 2020, so I don't know what's happened with him. It makes his evaluation confusing. He's moved up a little bit as I've rewatched more and just really tried to get a good feel for him. I have him in the late third round personally. I'm a tough grader. That means I think you're a solid starter in the NFL, basically. Right. That's kind of where you're headed. Maybe he can be better than that. It would take a big leap at the next level. He's also a guy that's been under the 10 sack threshold that you usually look for when you're taking an edge rusher high, even if they have traits. You know, if you can get to 10 called sacks, you know, it typically doesn't bode very well for your NFL future. So, but he's a guy I think they would absolutely consider there. I don't know if they would consider Jason Away if he's on the board. I don't think they'll consider Gregory Rousseau, and I think he will be on the board. I don't think he'll be considered there.
What about Jalen Phillips?
Those are probably – if he's there, maybe. It will depend all about – it will depend all about off the field and injury stuff with Phillips. You know, is he all in for the game? What are the concussion issues? You know, what's the issue with his wrist, you know, from his time at UCLA and the moped accident? That kind of stuff will all need to be answered. I've certainly talked to people, you know, about Jalen Phillips. I know what they've said. I don't like to talk much about that kind of stuff. I just know the teams will have to do their own vetting on that stuff. I don't include it my grading because I just don't think I can ever talk to enough sources to get to know the kid well enough to, like, you know, what am I going to do? Kill him around grade for you know, smoking weed? You know, I just, you know, it's hard to know where to draw the line. So all I do is just evaluate the tape, the athletic testing, and the production. I look at those three things. And in that regard, to me, Phillips is clearly the best pass rusher in this class. I don't think he'll be on the board for the Bucks at 32. Somebody will take the risk in a class like this one. You might as well, because there's not that much talent, in my opinion. Not that much special talent, for sure. And he could be special if he got his head on right. So we'll see how that whole thing plays out with Phillips. But he's one I think they would consider if he's there. I just don't think he will be.
I first met, I think he's our mutual friend, Eric Galco. You know Galco, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I first met Galco at the 2012 Senior Bowl or something. We were interviewing a prospect, me and Byron, and Galco just comes up. It, you know, he waits till we're done, and he just straight up asks this dude. He's like, "Hey, man, do you still smoke weed?" he's going around just trying to get all this stuff figured out. I'm with you, man. Like, you can't figure all that stuff out on your own. There's no way you could talk to enough of these guys. I know also, I was just remembering now as I'm looking over some of these draft position props for these actual players, I was just remembering that you're a at least on Twitter, I've never talked to you about it personally, but it seems like you're a maniacal Steelers fan, even though you cover the Bucks, right? Is that correct? You're a fan of the Steelers?
I'm a Steelers fan. I don't know if I'm maniacal.
Okay. I think you're kind of maniacal.
Britt is definitely, my wife is definitely, I am... Most people would say, they ask me all the, what I get from Steelers Nation all the time is, dude, are you even a real fan of this team? Because I'm
you just
critical.
Seem to hate on them all the time. Yeah.
That's my job, right? I'm a critic. I mean, you know, people want just me to say good things about the team, and I'm just like, I can't. I think I disagree with a lot of things they've done recently. So most people would say that there's no way I could be a fan, but I am a fan. I do root for the team.
Well, listen to this, John, because, okay, so the Steelers are picking, are they picking at 24? 24.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so 24. I'm looking at the Najee Harris draft specials, and his over-under is picked 29.5, which, I mean, and this has minus 112 juice on either side on the DraftKings Sportsbook. I would have figured they would have put that thing at 24.5 with all the buzz lately that it feels like the Steelers are going to be picking a running back. Do you think they'll pick a running back? And then if they did... Would you get all of Steelers Twitter angry by saying it's a bad mistake, or do you think they kind of should? And then a third question there: if they did go running back, would you prefer Najee Harris or Travis Etienne or possibly somebody else?
I do think they will draft a I think they'll draft a running back. I shouldn't say I know they will or anything like that. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily that they're going in saying we have to draft a running back. I just think they really like Travis Etienne and Najee Harris, you know, and I know a lot of people do. I mean, that's, you know, but in front of them, there's a few teams that could take a running back, by the way. So that, you know, Miami, I think 18, I think they're at 18, and the Jets, I forget where they are, 23 or something like that.
Jets are at 23, and of course they're at 2.
Yeah. Right. I think those are two spots that could take a running back for sure. But if he's not there, I mean, I think they'll move to another position. That's definitely a possibility too, offensive line. But, you know, I think they love Tevin Jenkins. Who wouldn't? I mean, I think they'd love to get Tevin Jenkins. I mean, I love Tevin Jenkins too, but I just don't think, look at the teams in the teens. I mean, we're getting past the Raiders and Arizona. Might not get past Minnesota,
maybe,
to be honest.
Maybe. So, I mean, he's getting a lot of buzz right now. Yeah,
right,
and then,
right.
I mean, he's got to get past Washington, too. He's got to get past Chicago.
Yeah.
He's got to get past the Colts. I mean, you know the Colts are going to offensive tackle.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The Colts, I mean, they want to put – if they want to move him – I mean, he played on the left side a little bit. They want to put him next to Quentin Nelson and just destroy people for ages. I mean, you know, that's what I mean. I just don't know that – you know, guys like he and Christian Darrisaw and Elijah Barrett Tucker, I think the Steelers would love those guys. I don't know if they're going to be there at 24. They're kind of just outside the range for those guys. So that's why I think they're like, okay, we can move back and get another. That's kind of like a tier break for interior offensive line, which is really what they want to do, I think, is go interior offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But the more likely is that a running back is on the board that they like there. And so if that's the case, then I just think it's kind of the way the board falls will produce a running back for the Steelers. I think they would take – I don't know who they would like between Harrison. I mean, certainly in the past they've gravitated toward bigger backs. I mean, that has been like, it's almost like a running joke inside,
mm-hmm.
you know, Steelers Twitter. Etienne would be a totally different type of back than they've prioritized. Now they probably love his receiving skills, but Etienne is all speed and burst, and the Steelers have not had speed and burst. I mean, even when Le'Veon Bell was killing it, like he's never been like a speed guy. Like that's never been his game. And so they really haven't had somebody like that since Willie Parker, to be honest. So he would be a big change from where they've gone with the running back position. He weighed in, I think, 214, which is good for him, but most people don't think he plays at that weight. So
mm-hmm.
I would guess, if I were guessing with you, I'd say Najee Harris is the guy. And then if he's not there, maybe they trade down if the offensive lineman and Harris are off the board.
Do you like –
Or maybe they go corner. Corner's a possibility, too. Corner.
Corner is. Okay. Who is it that you would prefer, though? Like, if they're going to take a running back, is there one that you prefer to see? Just as a guy that likes watching the Steelers?
I mean, honestly, I like Etienne. This is honestly how I feel about it. I know people just want clean rankings, but I'm not sure this one's that simple. I like Etienne for his home run threat ability and what he's starting to become in the passing game. You know, need to get a really good feel for the guy, but if he's one of those guys that's been arrow up since the first time he stepped on the field at Clemson, right? Like, everything's just kept developing. Now, is he capping at some point? This past year was another step in the right direction. Can he keep growing? Because the ceiling for him could be crazy. But vision-wise, he's not as good as Harris. He's, you know, they're both. Harris is probably a better pure runner, in my opinion, snap to snap. But Etienne only needs one to break it, you know. So I come down to receiving ability for me, and I just love Harris's hands. You know, I think in ability in the open field, he's not elusive, but he's just powerful. He breaks tackles. He knows where space is. He gets there. So Etienne's got a much higher ceiling, I think. Harris isn't very fast or explosive, but he's just a really good, solid player. I think he's going to play for a long time, and he's going to be on the field all three downs. He's going to protect, and he's going to do all those kinds of things. But honestly, I'd probably get out of both. I'd probably just try and move back, get more picks, and take Javonte Williams if you're that set on a running back, you know, because he could be as good as either of those two guys, to be honest. And, you know, the thing with Williams is the price tag is not going to be probably quite as high, you know. But, I mean, you talk about tone setting and tackle breaking, he's got it. Pass protection, he's got it. Receiving, he's not on the level of those other two guys, no question, but I can work with that. He's a capable receiver. That's good enough for me right now, and you work everything else in over time.
Okay, so one last kind of theme here I want to go with you, John, and I appreciate you being flexible with your time here. I know you got a bunch of stuff going on with the draft coming right up, but
oh no, you're good.
So let's just go over how you think basically the general landscape of the top 10 picks is going to look, just with these things in mind. Okay, we have Jalen Waddle's over under is sitting at 11.5. So basically what they're saying is I don't know why it's at 11.5. I think it's because maybe because that's where the Eagles are. The Eagles are at 12. So maybe the sports books are thinking that is going to, like, Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith both have the 11.5 over under. Okay, Jamar Chase has a 6.5 over under. 6 would fall right between Miami and Detroit, both of whom could certainly look at wide receivers. Kyle Pitts has a very odd one to me, a 5.5 over under, which does not take into, which to me, I thought it might be 4.5 if they were trying to say, do you think the Falcons take Kyle Pitts? But at 5.5, it means, do you think that the Dolphins are going to be going wide receiver, or do you think that the Dolphins are going to be going offensive tackle? Do you think that the Kyle Pitts falls here to the Dolphins? I guess there's also a case for Kyle Pitts to the Bengals, right? I mean, heck, right. if four quarterbacks go off the board and Kyle Pitts you have him as the best non-quarterback, you know, you want to get Joe Burrow weapons. We know that the Bengals aren't sophisticated enough to actually trade down, which they should be doing. Let's just say this. We know it's going to go Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville. We presume it's going to go Zach Wilson to the Jets. Do you think at number let's just start at number 3. Justin Fields and Mac Jones now are both even money for this pick. Have you had any thoughts about this from the very beginning? Trey Lance is now at plus 400. So if you put $100 down on Trey Lance, you know, and it ended up being Trey Lance, you could walk back up with your ticket to the casino and you could get your $100 back plus 400 extra. So he's looking like a little bit more of a long shot, but Justin Fields and Mac Jones are both even money. What do you think about that one? Do you have any takes on Justin Fields or Mac Jones or any, like what they should be doing there and what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I know what they should be doing. They should be drafting Justin Fields, and they should be thankful that the Jets aren't doing it because, I mean, I just don't understand. It's not like, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, Fields has a higher ceiling. Yes, and he's a better player right now. Like, he did it on tape. It's not like he's the most accurate quarterback in the country. Like, I mean, I have no clue I don't know what the knocks are on Fields. I don't get, I mean, like, sure, like, there's plays here and there, but consistent issues with, I mean, there's not, like, and you know the ceiling of Mac Jones is what it is. In today's NFL, you want to trade up to 3 and give up multiple for that? Like, I just
– right.
You can find guys like Mac Jones in other drafts. I mean, I'm not saying he isn't a good player. I think he is. But one guy's rare and the other guy's not. I don't know why it's even a debate. It's hilarious to me that it's a debate. I don't think that the 49ers, if they take Mac Jones, I don't think they'll be a bad team. I don't think Mac Jones can't win there. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Super Bowl there, and he's clearly more limited than Justin Fields. So – Kyle Shanahan's the best. I'm not saying you can't do things, but I'm just saying, like, you put a lid on yourself when you take Mac Jones there. You don't put that lid on yourself when you take Justin Fields. So could be Fields. I have no idea who it will be. I don't have any clue. And it's not for lack of trying. I've tried to get answers from people. Everything I hear, it's people want to, you know, everybody's just speculating, I think. I think the league's just, right away, as soon as the trade is made, every big media person's like, everybody thinks this is Mac Jones. And of course, everybody who doesn't have those connections is like, what in the world?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're completely confused about why that would be the case. And I just don't know how did the trade happen? And then all of a sudden, everybody, you know, all these other teams know exactly what the 49ers are doing. Like, I know it had probably been in the works for a while. And I guess it's possible some stuff leaked out. But I mean, I know scouts in that organization. They don't have any clue the 49ers are drafted. And so it's just hard for me to envision that, like, yeah, Shanny was out here, like, spilling to all these other teams that in mass kind of said, oh, they're taking Mac Jones. I don't think it's smoke screens at all, by the way. I think people are so BS with that. These smoke screen stuff that people imagine up every year. No, sometimes people just guess. They tell the media with confidence. The media report it with confidence because nobody wants to hear, like, oh, I have no clue what they're going to take, but Mac Jones is kind of like Jimmy Garoppolo. So, like, nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear, like, oh, they're taking Mac Jones. Like, so that's how people in the league say it, and that's how the media reports it. But I don't think anyone knows. Now, they can still take Mac Jones. Absolutely. I mean, there's certainly things about it that make sense. Like I said, he's a good prospect. Wouldn't make any sense to me, but I think they would still win probably. I mean, Shanahan's that good. So it wouldn't be what I would do, but that's what I think they'll do. And then at 4, Atlanta's got tough decisions to make. To me, I think that they take, I don't know why you wouldn't take a quarterback, but it sounds like trading back to Kyle Pitts is the top options. You know, let's just say they take Kyle Pitts. That would put Cincinnati with a Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater. By the way, it might be Slater over Sewell for them. Conversation there, or Jamar Chase. And I think they would take Chase, which would put Miami in a situation where they might honestly trade back if Pitts and Chase are off the board. If it goes like that,
that would mean somebody, if it goes like you just said, and I think it's interesting because the Falcons, as far as DraftKings Sportsbook, quarterback is actually the most popular. It's the best odds at plus 125, and tight ends at plus 150. The next one you get to is offensive lineman and wide receiver at plus 1,000. So the sportsbooks say that's going to be a quarterback or that's going to be a tight end if they don't trade out. So
trade down, and then Denver comes up. That's a possibility. Right. I think Denver would have done it if they were coming up. I mean, that far anyway. You know, at six with Miami, if Pitts and Chase are off the board, okay, then maybe Miami is sitting at six, basically. I bet they have an offer now. I mean, I'm sure they do. And I bet they're sitting there and they're saying, we'll see. We're going to see what happens. Mm-hmm. If Pitts and Chase are off the board, then we'll pull the trigger on it. We'll move back. Maybe Denver comes up, takes Fields or takes Lance. And then you're at seven with Detroit. They probably take Waddle. And at eight with Carolina, offensive lineman.
So you think that – Whenever Matt Rhule went and got Sam Darnold, he went and got Sam Darnold thinking that there's going to be a quarterback that drops to him, and he wanted Darnold more than that quarterback.
It sounds absurd, but that's what it seems like. It's a huge gamble. Obviously, you're not paying the premium for the quarterback, but you're still paying a high second for Darnold, and you're picking up his fifth year option, so you're not resetting the market at the quarterback position on your roster. It's not what I would have done, for sure. But I'm not saying Darnold can't be better, but you think Darnold's going to be better than Justin Fields or even Trey Lance, maybe? I doubt that, man. So to me, I think, now they still could take a quarterback. A lot of people have said that. I don't think they're going to, but I don't think it's crazy that people talk about it, and I don't think it's crazy that it's an option for them. I wouldn't have made the trade for Darnold, but having multiple options at that position, especially when you pick in the top 10 and a great quarterback class, would be smart. So, I mean, they could consider that. Detroit could do the same thing. I mean, you really think Jared Goff's going to be the long-term answer? They've been in on all the quarterback, workouts, and they've been doing their due diligence. I mean, it's just part of the fun, right? Like, I don't have, I've obviously heard things, but I have no clue who's, telling the truth and who isn't. I don't know. So, I mean, Detroit could take Micah Parsons. That's the latest rumor. I mean, that would just be bonkers to me, but that's what Detroit does a lot of the time, so new decision maker there, obviously Brad Holmes is coming from the Rams, where they really never prioritized the linebacker position. I mean, not for years anyway. I mean, they stumbled into some guys certainly, but over the years that Corey Littleton ended up playing well there, but it wasn't like they paid a premium for that position ever. Last year they were running out like Micah Kizer and, some guy you never heard of at linebacker. Mm-hmm. So it would be bizarre to me if that were his first move, especially with the character stuff out there on Micah Parsons. But, to me, I think they're probably going to go wide receiver there. I've seen offensive line mock to them. They're a complete wild card. I mean, they really are. They could take a quarterback. They've been quiet this whole time. Nobody hardly ever mocks them a quarterback. But do you really think, your new regime in place there, you could give yourself two quarterback options, probably. Almost definitely there's going to be good quarterbacks on the board. The other thing they could do is trade back. I think that's a real possibility as well. So it's a fascinating draft, man. It's probably because of the quarterbacks. If you have quarterbacks at the top, it's like it was a couple of years ago. I mean, how much fun that draft was, the Baker Mayfield draft. Like, that was awesome. I mean, we didn't know anything going in. I mean, we know the top pick going in, maybe the top two picks going in. So it's a little less intriguing, but that was one of the most dramatic drafts ever, right? Because we didn't, day before, it's like, it's Baker is the number one guy. And we're like, what? No way. And nobody believes it until they saw it, really. So it's going to be a fun draft.
Do you like Jalen Waddle better than Devontae Smith?
I do like him better than Devontae Smith because two reasons to me. When Waddle was healthy early in the season, he was the guy defense is worried about. And that doesn't a knock on Devontae Smith. You just pick your poison. Then he's the game changer, I think. Like, he has the speed, but he also has the route running still coming along, but the separation ability is there. Just a matter of timing and details and things like that, which he's already getting. Rare speed and acceleration, beast with the ball in his hands. Better player than Henry Ruggs. I thought that last year when Ruggs was coming out too, and I liked Ruggs. So I think, yeah, he can just change a game really quick. And he's only been in a handful of contested catch situations in his whole career because he's so fast, but he's awesome in them. So, I mean, you don't really have any downside with Waddle. He cleans up some of the little things about the position, sure. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a really good player in the NFL. Devontae Smith is a stud, too. He's the most, you know, polished guy probably. But, it is hard. I mean, I think that people are smart to consider his weight, but they also shouldn't throw out his tape. I think it all matters. Will Devontae Smith ever be a star in the NFL? A star, you know? Or is he going to be Calvin Ridley, who's a very good player? A very good player. Took him a couple of years. Devontae Smith, I think, is already probably a little bit further along than Ridley was. Is he going to be that type of player, like a top 20 wideout in the league, top 15 wideout in the league, or is he going to be a top 5 wideout in the league? You know, to me, that's what Chase and Waddle could be, especially Chase. You know, Waddle, we'll see. Waddle really has to land in the right place. I mean, Henry Ruggs landed in like the worst place. I mean, I think Waddle's better than Ruggs, but Ruggs landed in like the worst place for him. I said that before the draft when people were doing mocks and sending Ruggs there to the Raiders. Was like, yeah, this is the worst fit ever for Ruggs. If he goes there, don't be surprised if he disappoints. So that is what Waddle can't have happen. To where Chase, I mean, he could dominate anywhere, I think. So I like Chase the most, but I like Waddle too, and I think Devontae Smith's going to be really good as well. I just don't know if Devontae Smith's ever going to be a star at the position.